Hello, Alan. Hello, Kathy. Here we are.
Hello.
We'd like to get some information and discuss a little bit sortition or citizens' assembly, I guess, as it's more easily known. Could you just kind of say in a nutshell what it is for the benefit of people who haven't heard about it?
Well, sortition is actually a particular word to describe a process of randomly selecting citizens from a society. So it's a sort of activity or a process that's used to constitute participants for a citizens' assembly. So there's the sortition piece is quite interesting, I think, because essentially what it means is that you take your society as a whole, and the idea is that you try to get a random cross-section that represents all the demographics of your society, that includes like a random, that you have a good balance between like gender and culture, education level. So these actual categories around which you make those selections can vary, but what you're really looking for through a sortition process is to have a really a small group that is broadly representative of your whole social strata. Yeah?
Okay.
And citizens' assembly is then you take that group selected by sortition, and the idea of citizens' assembly is there are a number of steps. So first of all, you select the participants through this sortition kind of process to participate. And what they do as participants is deliberate or reflect on and discuss certain key topics or questions that are important for the society or could be even a country. And that includes a number of steps such as briefings from experts on whatever that given question is. So they really have a chance to reflect on that question from multiple perspectives. And based on that, then there's a facilitated process, which means that somebody is then working with this larger group. And again, the numbers could be anywhere between sort of 20 to 200. So the actual sample size is another aspect that needs to be considered. But let's say you've got your sample, they've got briefed on the topic, and then they come together in smaller groups with facilitators to deliberate and make recommendations. And those recommendations can then be used to inform decision-making. Do you want to add anything to that?
Could I interject a question here? Initially you said, and I think repeated it a time or two, that you have, when you select who initiates, who starts it, somebody has to be the genesis of the thing.
Yes. Do you want to have a step?
Well, there's a small group that's kind of formed, kind of informally really, which is looking at this whole situation, looking at the whole idea, and seeing how we can apply it to Oroville, because there have been experiments all over the world in citizens' assemblies, or it's given different names in different places.
For a number of years?
Yes, I believe the Canadian one has been running for many, many years, actually. Normally what happens is a citizens' assembly will look at one particular topic, and then it will dissolve after the topic is finished, and then a new sortition, random selection process will take place for another topic. But from memory, there have been two experiments in India, in Canada, Norway, I believe.
Yeah, Iceland.
The UK, Iceland.
Australia have
so it's actually that, yeah. Something that's becoming more and more into the public view at present.
I see.
Partly because people are rather sceptical or frustrated by conventional politics.
Yes, we are.
It's also being referred to globally like as deliberative democracy. Mm. So it's it's really an alternative to the kind of electoral democracy, which involves, electing politicians and voting them in. It's really a process that's designed to give voice to the people. And I think that's really at the heart of citizens' assembly idea and what really needs to be understood, that it's really meaning that anyone in your society, and if we take Oroville, anyone in Oroville could potentially have a seat at the table to deliberate, discuss, and make recommendations on the given topic. So, yeah, I think that's sort of what we find particularly, well, there's a number of elements that are interesting, I think, but one of them is that it could really enable and free up people in Oroville who maybe have something to say but may not typically come to a general meeting or participate in the normal ways and channels that we have available currently for participation. It's a way of giving everyone an equal chance to potentially be at the table, to engage with the topic, reflect on it, get informed about it and participate in recommending decisions.
Yeah, I think the kind of one of the assumptions about it that I found most interesting is somewhere the kind of faith that wisdom resides in the larger community. It's not just the people who normally go to the meetings or tend to be in the major groups or even go on Oronet and sort of post regularly. There's a huge constituency out there with a lot of, they may not have access to all the knowledge and all the information needed, and this is, the process is designed to actually give this to them. But I think it's true of Oroville, but also the other experiments around the world, apparently, that people have been struck with the wisdom that comes out of this process from, inverted commas, ordinary people, people who are not politicians by training. And I like the idea, I think a little bit in Oroville, we've got into a mindset, and it's kind of unconscious, that we kind of identify people who can do the job with it. And it's a rather small subset of Orovillians, you know.
Right.
And the problem is that, to a certain extent, the same kind of thinking patterns just get reiterated and reiterated. And I think one of the potentially interesting things about the sortition is it brings very diverse people to the table. There may be many, many new insights or ways of looking at things. And I think that can only be of use to our larger process.
I would agree. That sounds very, very positive. Mm. I mean, we know, we've heard that one of the common complaints is that, oh, the groups, the same people are always in the same groups. Mm. So we say, oh, they're the political ones, they're the politicians, they're the ones that get to make the decisions. But this would open up a chance for the person who doesn't dare speak out,
exactly,
who feels, for whatever reason, that he should not and cannot, and bring his intuitive question, knowledge, to the table.
Sure.
So far, have you found a lot of acceptance to this, or have you found negativity about this? What do you find when you talk to the average person?
I think that overall, that when we are introducing the idea, which is pretty much the main thing that we're trying to do at the moment, is to just share it and exchange with as many people in Oroville as possible, because to even start a sort of pilot project, which is what we want to do, it would be really ideal that as many people even know what this idea is about and understand what it is and what it isn't. So when we've talked to people, the response, I think, has been overwhelmingly positive. I think people are quite easily able to grasp both what the idea is, how it can free up the voices of maybe people, like you said, who feel maybe marginalised or not feeling like they're able or confident to bring their voice to different topics. So that, I think, is immediately understood and attractive to most people. I think that the sort of reservations that people have are often things like, you know, because I think we're used to thinking that people need certain knowledge and background to be able to, you know, even engage in such a process. So I think there's still a piece where we need to be able to actually have the confidence and trust and to understand that the educational process and the briefings actually can provide people with those skills and knowledge on that journey, and that expertise isn't a prerequisite for participation. That's a really unusual idea, I think.
It is.
And it's maybe threatening. And I think also there are certain, you know, maybe misunderstandings still that we need to work on clarifying, like, for example, that it's not replacing our existing government structure. That it's actually complementary to it. It's an adjunct. And, you know, in fact, I think ideally citizens assembly work best when they're working in concert with the existing governance structures, because what they really can do is help reveal the will of the people that then lead to, that can help the so-called politicians, and Oroville ideally are governing groups and others who are trying to make decisions for a way forward on whatever topic, to have reliable and trustworthy insights about where does the community want to go. And I think personally the only way we can really have any confidence in what is that will of the people is by starting to find ways to listen to the people, and that's where I think Citizens Assembly can help. So yeah, I think it's been positive so far.
I think it's been overwhelmingly positive to the groups we presented to. I think two concerns have come up to me. One, as Kathy said, is what is its relationship with the existing structure? And in particular, if a citizens' assembly comes up with a recommendation, what will happen to that recommendation?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there any kind of guarantee that that will be taken on board by a specific working group if it's related to that, or by the residents' assembly? I mean, that's something we have to really explore.
Mm-hmm.
The other, I think, reservation from a few people is regarding sortition. One of the reservations, as Kathy says, is, you know, why do we need a random thing? Because we need the best people, so the specialists,
mm-hmm.
whatever. And that. So that's why. But those people who don't have that, they're a little bit concerned, because the way it's done normally in other parts of the world is called, I think, stratified sortition. So it's a rather complicated, I'm not going to explain the whole process, but it's basically designed so you get a fairly accurate cross-section representation of the larger society.
Mm-hmm.
So if there are, in a particular system, generally there's a gender balance, but for example, in a society, if you have, say, immigrants are roughly 10% of the population, you would seek to find, of your residents' assembly, something like 10% of it, something like. So that, now a number of people objected to that if we transfer that to Oroville, because they said, for example, you know, how are you with such a diverse group of nationalities here going to find any kind of balance? And would that mean that you're always going to have one Ukrainian or one Russian? Because, and clearly we can't do it in the same way. So initially, for the pilot at least, we have decided we'll just simply do random sortition. We'll take basically the master list, and then actually people 16 plus, so we're actually going to expand that whole idea of what is an Oroville and who is, and newcomers, and we'll simply make a random selection. I'm sure there are ways of doing this. Our expert in the group has been doing it. I think there's some kind of algorithm or something like that. It will be publicly done, so there'll be absolute transparency regarding how it would be done.
So
it, in that sense, it won't be unlikely to be an exact representation of the larger society, because it's almost impossible to have that.
I see, and I can't help but wonder if the Tamilian Orovillian population will come forward even if they are randomly selected.
That's the other concern that has been voiced, that some people will be chosen who probably haven't been to a meeting in years or don't want to go to meetings, and are not even on Oronet. How does one interest these people in this process? And we want to make personal approaches to anybody who's on the list and give a general understanding of the process. That will be one. I mean, there are multiple challenges in this process. multiple. One is to bring in the people who... So that means to create a kind of safe environment, and it requires translation from different languages for people. Mm-hmm. We have to find some space where people feel really comfortable to mm-hmm. participate, and that their voice. It's a challenge for facilitation, because it will require very good facilitation. And it's a challenge for the people who are providing the expert information.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, at all levels, it's going to be. But for me, that's what makes it the most interesting thing, that we're.
Yeah.
If there are multiple challenges and experiments going on in this process.
I'm Just maybe to build on that, I think the other thing that we find really exciting and interesting and the potential of this idea as well is that part of the preparation is that, so maybe just to back up slightly, that I think another perhaps helpful analogy is something like jury duty, which happens mm-hmm. in a lot of democratic countries. So that's, I mean, this is where you randomly select people mm-hmm. to participate and then they get briefings. But another part of the educational preparation work is to also have some, you know, some training for the participants that are selected around things like, you know, how to listen and understand mm-hmm. and become conscious of bias and critical thinking skills. I think there's a lot of really important and interesting skills that can be really cultivated right. through participating in mm-hmm. such a process. So we also feel that it's a very, you know, I mean, and we hope to somehow convey this to people who are selected, that if you are selected, it's a chance to really show up in civic responsibility mm-hmm. and really learn and engage, and that you don't have to kind of come in with knowledge or expertise. It's just like you bring yourself and your open mind
right.
to learn, to engage, to be part of this journey. And it's time bound. It's not forever. So once you've done it, then the next topic and next group would be selected. But I think that'll be a challenge, but also an exciting potential for communicating and helping people to see it as maybe an adventure. And I can say that the sort of few Tamil Aurovillians that we've spoken to about it are actually quite excited, because they immediately see that this is the kind of a space where they feel their voices could be heard, where mm-hmm. they'd be normally too shy to raise their hand or not feeling, you know, that they know enough to be taken seriously, whereas the structure of this enables them to feel, I think, able to participate. And I think that's not just true for Tamil Aurovillians. I mean, I see myself in that too.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not often putting my hand up. And
no.
But somewhere about this structure feels safe and supported. And it's really all about giving every support to the selected participants to be able to do this work on behalf of the community. Yeah.
Yeah, a thing that it seems very exciting to me is that it's an opportunity to learn something yeah. that you yeah. hadn't known before, hadn't an opportunity to know before. You get to learn something new. And
yeah.
But I think the training thing is also very important, because in one sense, the long term, we're talking about building a civic consciousness, enlarging mm-hmm. the civic consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So many people now, maybe because they don't come to meetings or don't go, there may be many reasons for this, but they lack a certain understanding of the larger situation of Oregon. And some people may choose to remain like that, which is absolutely fine. But I think the more people we have who have this kind of, this civic consciousness built within them, then our subsequent discussions will become all that more interesting and deep mm-hmm. and valuable. And I think will be seen as valuable for the working groups, because one of the problems at present is that working groups have no real sense of the pulse of the community very often. They can put out a special survey, but many, many topics, they don't really know where the community stands.
Mm-hmm.
So it's guesswork. They're just basically running on guesswork. And this will give them some kind of sense of that pulse, I think, if these citizen assemblies work well. But for me, the building of the civic consciousness, this has a short-term thing regarding specific issues,
mm-hmm.
but the long-term thing is building this. When people learn how to listen, what is bias, what is information that we can work with, how can I work with this, how can I sit with other people and listen to them and put my point in a particular way. These are tremendously valuable skills that
they
people
are.
Need.
Exactly. I'm terribly excited about it. I think that it's an opportunity that's we've been waiting for. We didn't know what it was, but now we've got a chance to participate and become educated, informed, enlightened, as you will, and make a difference.
Mm.
I mean, that's the thing about coming to Oroville, that you can do what you want. You might come as a neurosurgeon and wind up as a gardener, for instance. You can
yep.
choose what you want to do and do it as a means of raising consciousness, of becoming more aware, and to be presented with the opportunity
mm-hmm.
to learn new skills, like how to listen.
Mm-hmm.
What a huge thing that is.
Yeah.
Well, bravo.
Yeah.
Thank you.
there's one thing that when sort of reading about these processes around the world, and, you know, of course we've also in a sort of research journey ourselves, and there's one line that really sort of touches me, is this idea when then you give people responsibility, they tend to act responsibly. And I think that's sort of at the heart of this idea as well, is it's just really taking this implicit faith in people's capacity to, you know, to shape our collective future. And I think that's why, not just for Oroville, but all over the world. I mean, you know, people who are sort of in this field of exploration around new forms of governance, I mean, Citizens Assembly is the kind of, I think, the most clear and current modality that's out there all over the world for really trying to reshape the way we're doing democracy around the world. And it's being talked about in many different places and countries. It's being experimented quite widely with. So it's not new. Like, it's not our idea. We're not making this up. It's, we're trying to tweak it and make it relevant and Orwellian in its approach. But the idea itself is, it's like it's tried and true. It's tested and it's working and it's really creating some very interesting new forms of people participation around really important issues that are affecting the whole sort of destiny of our planetary society, actually.
A step toward human unity, if you will.
I think it could be a real tool.
Yeah, I think, I should be careful what I say, but I think you, the world politically at present, you have kind of two versions, you know, which way we can go in terms of governance and self-governance. One is the strong leader, which we see in some parts of the world, and the other is this kind of grassroots, democratic, and we see also examples of that, you know, in different, particularly in the young people, there's this sense of kind of more horizontal organisation and this trust in the collective intelligence of the group or the crowd, which is actually quite new in a way, because I think the strong leader line doesn't trust the larger community to come up to make wise decisions. And I think in a sense Oroville also has that choice. You know, we've seen both strands within Oroville in our history, and particularly the strong leadership one, you know, and becoming dependent upon individuals, even people outside Oroville to guide us, which may have been necessary at a certain stage. But I think we've arrived at a stage now where we need to cultivate what we have and who we are.
I would agree. So, your next step is a meeting, I believe, in a week or two?
9th of January.
The 9th of January, right. And you expect in that meeting to get a lot of people who are very interested and have questions and who might be willing to take on a role.
By the time we've reached that meeting, we will have spoken to quite a few people already. So
quite a few means roughly.
We presented the idea of citizens' assemblies already. So one of the things we're hoping that will come out of the meeting is a decision regarding what would be the topic for the first pilot.
Well, we've got
going to put out a request to the larger community and the working groups to come up with ideas or topics which impact them. And then when we come to that meeting, at some point in the meeting, we may have 3 or 5 topics which have been sifted down. We'll ask people to choose. So it'll be an inclusive process. I mean, it's not a small group that's going to try and force this process upon the community.
So it sounds like throughout and all the way, it will be asked of the community.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I think that's really necessary too, because it's the kind of process that requires, you know,
input.
All of us in a way to kind of, you know, be on board with it. So, you know, as a kind of coordination group, where, you know, we're not actually, I think, attached to any form of, you know, the question is sort of, I mean, important, but it's not our main agenda to drive it this way or that. Our only objective is to try to support the conditions for emergence of this process in the community. And Yeah, they're in addition. So we're looking to try to do a pilot in starting in March, which is really just to learn how does it work and where are the challenges and what are we going to need to be mindful of going forward. And, you know, I don't expect the first pilot's going to be perfect. It's like any experiment. We're trying to understand how do you make it work here. And then once... And even to prepare for that pilot, so the general meeting, yes, is a big step to really make it sort of widely available for everyone to sort of, you know, weigh in on the topic. But we're also parallel working on things like preparing the pool of facilitators and the learning, the preparatory learning materials. And once we've got the topic, they'll need to figure out who the resource people for that can be. And I think another nice piece on the resource people is that, again, it's the topic might sort of obviously indicate certain people should be giving evidence, they call it, or giving expert knowledge, but the citizens' assembly participants also can request. They say, actually, we want to hear also from this voice or that voice. Mm-hmm. So there's many interesting aspects like that. So these are all the things that we're now in the process of trying to bring together the different elements of the process. And the sortition itself, the selection of participants, that'll probably happen just after the general meeting as well. So even I've been trying to work out how to do that piece.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, you say facilitators and resource persons. The role of a facilitator would be, could you expand on how that's different than the role of a facilitator in any other scenario?
I don't know that
it is that different. Well, imagine through the sortition process you have six people at a table.
Oh, it's a small number, okay.
It'll be relatively small. Okay. We're not talking about a 40 or 50
okay.
group. Yeah. And some of those we've managed to bring them because maybe they've never spoken in a group before or outside their own family. They don't have much self-confidence. On the other hand, we have somebody who's very used to expressing himself. So one of the obvious tasks will be to enable everybody to have some kind of equal voice, not to have people who are kind of overridden by dominant voices.
Okay, okay.
So that will be a very, very important part of it.
Yeah, and then say you've got, let's say, a dozen tables with half dozen persons and that many facilitators. Now, everyone has had a chance to speak at their table. What's the next step?
Yeah, the process is so that ideally there's a sort of some sort of question or, you know, investigation topic.
On that topic.
So whatever that is, then the idea is that the small groups through this deliberation come up with some sort of recommendation. So the facilitator's role is also, I think, to sort of try to guide that journey that, you know, we're heading here and that the people who, you know, who are at the tables kind of end up coming out with a felt sense of this is what we feel. I think maybe another piece we could mention is around whether consensus is required or not, because this is perhaps another...
That's an important point.
...misunderstanding too, because it's... Again, it's a process that's designed to build common understanding, but it's not a requirement that everybody has to agree, that we all, it has to be 100% conformity to we go left or we go right on whatever the question is. It's there's space in this process to allow, you know, people to just stand where they are and say, you know, and maybe there'll be 60% of people that feel that, you know, that we need to go over here and the 40% who... don't. So that's all fine. We're just trying to get clear about what is it that people really feel and want as a result of really reflecting deeply and understanding a topic. It's not opinion. I think that's another really important point, is that we're so used to sort of having to make decisions on, you know, is it blue or is it green, and, you know, and ticking the box, and it's opinion is often guiding the sort of decision making process, which often feels very superficial and and unsatisfying, you know. It's often much not as black and white as that. So again, probably be informed by the kind of question, but potentially there's a space for, you know, differing outcomes, but hopefully to get a strong feel, a stronger sense of the pulse is more or less to go in this direction. And again, it's not a decision-making tool per se, but it's designed to inform decision-making and to help get richer insights that can lead to better quality decisions.
There's another aspect for me of this, particularly in Oroville, which is relevant, which is the aspect of the social experiment. I think that it's sometimes it happens in Oroville that we tend to remain with the people who we're familiar with or who have the same opinion with
feel
us,
safe. You
know, have the same educational background, whatever, you know, birds of a feather. So this is going to bring together people through sortition who wouldn't normally ever meet together or listen to each other or whatever. So I find that a very interesting part of the process.
I do too.
That I'm hoping it's going to start breaking down, that we'll start looking at each other much more as individuals, that we'll be listening, so we'll be able to be more amenable to points of view which are different from our own. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's a very important part of it. So I think that could also have a kind of knock-on effect on the larger community itself, break down these artificial barriers that we somehow unconsciously create, and thinking patterns. I find that a very interesting, perhaps even for me the most interesting part, given what we are setting out to do in Oroville.
Yeah, I think it's a huge step forward.
Yes.
Very exciting. All right.
We're excited.
It's catching.
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't set the expectations too high. I mean, we're going to have a pilot. We're going to do a pilot. And as I say, so many things have to work for it to come out with an interesting...
It's a break in the clouds.
Exactly. So... I think if we see that there are a whole lot of variables being tested through this process, and we can say, well, this one seems to be working, but this one we've got to work more on, rather than people just thinking, well, the outcome is not very interesting or whatever. They have to see there's a totality of experiments here. And I think that's the way we're going to work, basically. It's not a magic bullet. It's not going to solve all of Oroville's problems.
No, but it is... It is a way forward. I see it as a way forward. I consider myself one of those persons who doesn't attend many meetings and is not terribly well-informed and that I have strong opinions about certain things. And to have the opportunity to be part of a group or a small group within a larger group where I could listen to other people and have a wake-up moment and say, oh, yes, I hadn't thought of that. Imagine that. There was something I hadn't thought of, you know. And that's very wonderful, I think.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah, exactly. That's, I think we've seen different sort of videos where, you know, people who have participated in these citizens' assembly reflect on exactly that, that even sometimes either they had their mind changed or they maybe didn't, but they felt enriched by the process of being able to be exposed to thinking that maybe challenged their, you know...
New perspective.
So that for them felt like a valuable takeaway. And they, you know, and I think not only the sort of... It's not just about getting an outcome in terms of a recommendation, but I think the quality of the process and how people experience it is as interesting and something we'll also want to monitor through the pilot as to see whether... You know, it's not just do we get the result, but do we actually enjoy getting there? Do we find it helped shift something or make, you know, deepen something in our feeling of, I mean, I think you've expressed it very well, Alan, but yeah.
So I think also it's, I mean, when we only meet with each other in general meetings, you know, we just hear, as Kathy says, there's a lot of opinions going across, but it's very easy to judge people on the basis of a few sentences or, you know, the background that we know of them from the past. You know, some people have long histories. And I think one of the interesting things about, potentially about this process, is that even in the small groups, there'll be another depth to which we're discussing things. And even if somebody is saying something that we disagree with, we'll still see them as a whole person. We won't see them simply as a mouthpiece of a particular view. I mean, this is So it's as if we're creating connections at a deeper level. We're not just reacting on the surface to somebody disagreeing with us or something. And I think that does happen rather a lot sometimes in some of our larger meetings, and particularly say when we don't have that opportunity to meet with each other outside the meetings. We have very one-dimensional views of each other. So hopefully that's part of the social experiment.
Yeah.
Because they'll be meeting over a period of time, and there'll be quite a concentrated, deep process.
So when you say meeting over a period of time and concentrated, it makes me wonder, what is the time in between meetings of getting together? Because I should think it should be fairly regular.
I mean, for the pilot, what we're planning is to have it over 4 Sundays, but 2 weeks apart. So, you know, and again, this is something that is part of the research, is to figure out whether Sundays are a good day. I mean, there's many things, but sort of more or less one day that's part, there's this sort of training and preparation day in with the selected participants, and then maybe more or less 2 days where they're actually getting the briefings and maybe starting the deliberation, and then the fourth Sunday would be a day of really coming to, really focused on those small group deliberations and coming to the recommendations. So that's more or less the working structure that we're working with, and we're thinking to start it on the 1st of March and finish it by the middle of April. So that's the working timeline at the moment.
Excellent.
One of the challenges we're facing in Oroville, I mean, in comparison, when I looked at, there's a video of one of the Irish examples, which was actually on abortion.
Yes, I saw that.
You saw that. So they had physical meetings, but the participants said they actually had a lot of reading in between. That's something we have to look at here, because we know there are some people in the community who won't read very much for one reason or another. So we have to, that's another part of our experimentation, how to communicate things in a way that is not just sort of, it can be oral, much more oral or visual or whatever, and not require of people that they have to take over a huge homework load, if you like, because that's going to be a delicate balance. People may say, okay, I want to be part of the experiment, but I'm not going to be able to give up, you know, 8 weeks and 3 days a week of just reading background documents. So
perhaps
all part of the experiment.
Yeah, it occurred to me that perhaps people who don't like to read and do research could be paired with someone who does. And the one who feels that he doesn't want to or cannot do the reading should be the one to lead it, because it's the best way to learn is to teach.
There was one of the interesting Indian examples, there's also a video of it, I forget which state it's in, but it brought together 20 small farmers in a particular state.
Andhra Pradesh.
And at least from the video, there was no reading at all. They simply actually had presentations from people who were offering different versions of farming in the future. And they listened to them, and then they had their own discussions. They came out with actually a very interesting conclusion at the very end. That's another thing we can look at as well.
Yeah, imparting of information comes in many ways.
Exactly. They watched videos, they had presentations. But as far as I know, they didn't actually have to, and maybe some of them wouldn't have been able to read anyway. So that's another communication.
Well, in conclusion, would you share just exactly, well, wait, let me rephrase that, not exactly, just share what your expectations are, if you have expectations. Perhaps expectation is the wrong phrase here. You're hoping for something. You are hoping for something.
Yeah.
And it's, from what you've said, it sounds to me as though this could really be a big step forward towards human unity, towards working together, towards making a change in the many problems that we're challenged with.
Yeah, for me, the Yeah, I think the social aspect is the most... For me, it's going to be very difficult to see it. I mean, it's going to be something of an invisible process. Mm-hmm. But this... I felt it a little bit in the retreat in 2016, where people were sitting at tables. We were sitting with members of the governing board. We were also, to a certain extent, sitting with people we wouldn't normally sit with. And I can think of one or two instances there when I was sitting at a table, and I really had a completely different perception of somebody, just as a result of those discussions. And that's remained till this day.
That's huge.
Yeah, and I think that in itself would be a very profound shift if you multiply that. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost as if, Kathy may disagree here, but it's almost as if the specific outcome in terms of recommendations are all, for me, almost less important than that, because we don't know what will happen. We hope that the recommendations will result in maybe policy shifts, in particular action in the community itself, but that invisible long-term effect of understanding each other as human beings rather than as mouthpieces that for me is the larger hope that I have of that. But that's a long-term process.
Very worthwhile.
No, actually, I'm quite aligning with that, Ellen.
Yeah, it resonates with me for sure.
I think what I feel really most strongly about is that if we can learn to move past polarized debate on important topics in Oroville, I think we're all, in a way, at least I am really longing for a different quality of discourse around the things that are important and really, it's like it's our dharma to work things out, our collective future together. And I feel this provides a potential template that we can really start to have conversations on important topics in a different way that starts to humanize each other and go beyond the sort of reductionistic, yes or no, good or bad, black and white thinking, but just enables the truth of complex situations to be as they are and to invite us all through this journey into something that's more deeper and that's more reflective of the living reality of a complex system, and that through that we can start to grow in sort of respect and curiosity about each other. So it's really that aspect that's much more compelling for me, and I think the outcomes feels more incidental, but hopefully too, that'd be like a real added bonus if we can also in doing that get to a point where we're actually starting to make some progress on not just through ignoring or putting aside. I think that's the other thing is that we are, so I'd like to see that too, but I think that's the emphasis is for me more on that one. But I do feel too that we are so stuck, and I think that's why there's such a high level of disengagement, is that we've kind of reached the edge of what we can do with our current processes of working through our difficult conversations and topics and needs. So I do hope we can make traction on that as well and make some progress.
I think in time it's inevitable.
Yes. Yeah, but the how is the key, not just sort of like we've got to bang these decisions through.
No banging.
creating different conditions for something else to flourish, that those outcomes can become more evident, visible and trustworthy.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing this beautiful new topic.
Thank you for your interest and support and giving us the space.
You were chosen through sortition. I gather that you would accept.
Immediately. Look forward to it.
Okay.